Brother John, which one's Brother John? The man's going to handle the park thing.
Yeah,
okay.
You scared him.
I did. So if we can help you in any way, with your pastor's permission, we're happy to help, all right? And this presence or anything, I can be the example of the old guy they don't want to be, and he can be he can be the example of the guy they want to grow up to be, all right? So, but no, seriously, if we can help, please let us know. We'd love to do that. Brother Luke, are you sure you don't want to show your Uganda video again? Because I'd love to see it. And no, honestly, if we can get together sometime, if we have the opportunity, I'd love to see what you saw, okay? And I'll explain that, and you'll understand it in just a minute, all right? And then I seen a New Guinea flag on somebody's lapel back there, all right? So, hi, all right? I just, you know, it's I'm pleased to see a church that just wants to reach the world. Amen. Amen. So my name is Stephen Harris. This is my wife, Peggy. All right. This is Josh and Bree. I guess that's how we go by it. Joshua and Brianna. If you was my mother, we would never say it the other way. All right. And they're missionaries to Russia. We're both out of the Kazadale Baptist Temple, Goshen, Ohio. I thank your pastor for giving us the opportunity. I've never met your pastor. Your pastor's never met me. I've never been to this church, never heard of it till it came across, and he's never heard of me, all right, until all this came across. Then it's through a connection with our pastor, and I imagine that connection is actually through Ted Alexander. I'm not sure. All right, Brother Ted Alexander is out of our church as well. Brother Joshua is preparing for the ministry. Pastor had asked how I thought we could best help him. I thought, you know, if we could just maybe mentor him on an area that he's not familiar with. He was born and raised on the mission field. And hasn't had the opportunity to visit a lot of churches. His dad's went, stayed, praise the Lord. I remember as a missionary kid, that same thing, all right? And who taught you? I went to that school of hard knocks, all right? I just graduate every time from that school, all right? So anyway, and pastor said, why don't you do that? I said, well, I wasn't suggesting that I do it, but okay. So last Friday, our youngest daughter got married, and so we were home for that, and pastor said, how about I, you make some meetings around that time, and so I prayed about it, and I called my pastor, and I said, listen, I think the best possible scenario is for us to both go in cold turkey, all right, so I'm not going into church where I've been friends with this guy for 30 years, and, you know, and then it's like, this is Josh, and Joshua too, you know, and so we can go in together and just say, I don't know him, you don't know him, and we'll do that. And pastors made that arrangements. That's why we're here. We appreciate you being part of our training. All right. Thank you so very much. So that's what this day's wrapped up in being. Thank you, Pastor, for being so gracious. But I want to say this too. I really appreciate your pastor's carefulness. All right. Not only just, okay, I got a recommendation. They're from Ted Alexander's church. You know, there's nothing here to see. Let's just go on. No. We went through all the requirements that need to be there, all right, with church questionnaires, so we know where we stand doctrinally, so we know where we stand philosophically, so we know where we stand practically, and then began some communication. And I really appreciate that from this church and your pastor as the shepherd of this church. So I thank you for that. All right, so we're missionaries to Mexico. I'm not from Mexico. That surprised you, didn't it? All right. But let me surprise you. I'm from Africa. Now, that surprised you, didn't it? All right. So my dad went to Africa in 1950 as a missionary. He's from Iowa. He's a Hawkeye. All right. My mom is typical from this kind of area, Southern Ohio, born in Kentucky scenario. All right. Dad went to Africa in 1950. I was privileged to be born in Africa in 1964, lived there till I was 15 years old, born again in Africa at 5 years old. God called me to preach just almost immediately after being saved at 5 years old. I just began preaching to my friends. And I kind of sometimes, you know, I knew that, but about 3 months ago, I got a stack of letters from my mom that she had written to my grandmother, her mother, that had gotten kept. And wow, reading those letters, and she is talking about, yeah, Stephen, he's out there preaching to his friends, and I thought, okay, I do remember this right. But anyway, what a privilege to know. God called me. As far as I was concerned, I was headed to Africa. You know, you've sang that song, be a missionary every day. Tell the world that Jesus is the way, be it in the town or country or the busy avenue. Africa or Africa, the choice is up to you. Isn't that how it goes? Why are you laughing? When I courted my wife, I met her in our church there at Kazadale. I went to my youth director and I said, hey, I'd like to take Peggy was going to King's Island. And I said, but I need to know a little bit about Peggy because I had just got back. And is she saved? Yeah. And I said, she got some biblical standards. I didn't know. Yeah. And he says, well, she's the best girl in our youth director, in our youth department. I said, okay, I'm headed the right way. When I told Peggy that first time out, she was 16, I was 17, and I said, listen, I have to tell you this, God's called me to be a missionary to Africa, and if you're not interested in that, it doesn't go any further than this. She's never been called to be a missionary. She's never been called to be a missionary to Africa. She's been called to be the wife that God wanted her to be. And we never ended up in Africa. God changed those plans. I was out in 86 with my dad for 3 months, and God just, boy, shifted that. Unbelievable. We went to New Zealand. How do you do that? Just follow the Lord, you know. And we went to New Zealand for life. Obviously, that didn't happen. And through the birth of our daughter in New Zealand, an illness, and then a death, God brought us out. And we left our hearts. And don't be surprised if you hear that Stephen Harris, Stephen Peggy are back in New Zealand. When God opens that door again, that he shut, we'll walk through it. In the meantime, we went to Bullhead City, Arizona. How many of you ever heard of Bullhead City, Arizona? All right, Laughlin, Nevada, Needles, California. You know of Needles? Remember a guy by the name of Spike? He was, what's his name? Snoopy's. Snoopy's cousin lived under a cactus in Needles, California. All right? Anyway, I didn't know that either until I got there. But anyway, we went and started the Mojave Baptist Church. We were there for 11 years and organized it. Brought a pastor in, and it's like, now what do I do? And it was always, God, can we go back to New Zealand? God, can I go back to Africa? Any part of Africa, Lord, I don't have to go to Central Africa. I'll just go to whatever. Can I go to Australia? Can I go to Western Europe? Can I go to Russia? I wanted to go to Georgia, USSR at the time. And God says, how about Mexico? I said, no habla español, ni un poco. 40-some years old, God sent us to Mexico. And we've been there since, and we're in our second work, and we've been at that work for 13 years. We're in a mafia-controlled town, 100% mafia-controlled. Yes, that's the answer, okay? You want to ask a question about that? Yes, okay? So, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Brother Joshua, he speaks Russian, okay? Do you happen to know John 3:16 off the top of your head? All right, listen, he's going to say John 3:6, stand up and turn around so they can see you, and give us John 3:16. I guess.
Verse there.
Works for me. All right, so let me speak the language of my raising. Okay, so I try to speak English. That's what I'm trying to do right now, okay? And then I was born and raised speaking a language called Sango. I don't know what they spoke in Uganda. Everything, yeah. So I speak a language called Sango. It's like English for me. I grew up speaking Sango. I grew up with Africans. I didn't grow up segregated and, you know, in some place else. We lived with Africans in our house. And so I speak Sango and I speak French. Anybody speak French? Oh, good. I'm not very good at it. I took French in school, and I had school in French, and all the government was in French, but that didn't mean I had to talk. There's a big difference. So I can read French, and I can listen to French if I tune my ear, but when I went to the Mexico to learn Spanish, I had to just kind of suppress my French, and so my French is way back there now, and now I speak Spanish. So anyway, let me do John 3:16. He did it in Russian, I think. Let me do it in my African language, okay? And it sounds like this: Tetenzapa ndo yesese so tongo solo mu melengetilo gengeleoko sizo so manabe alimbiquipe pe melkan affinity laque laque. Okay, that's Sango, and I'll do it in Spanish. De tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su hijo unigénito para que todo quien él cree no se pierda mas tenga vida eterna. Okay? French is cardu, and that's about as far as I go with that one, all right? So they say, what are you? Because if you speak one language, you're
American.
Yeah, American. American. If you speak two languages, you're bilingual. And if you speak three languages, you're trilingual. And if you speak four languages, you're confused. That's what I is. All right, pastors ask us to show, and he so graciously put this up, so I'm supposed to be able to find it on my phone. And if I could find what it's on, there it is. And then I can push play. I have to, I should have mirror. Did I turn it off? Okay, all right, timed out. All right, so that's settings. Right there.
Oh, yeah, cart, AV cart.
AV cart.
Put that number in.
Number in it, 5467.
He's learned something new this.
That's right.
Really good.
I'm getting technically savvy.
Hit screen mirroring.
AV cart. Hit the screen mirroring.
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay.
Go out to your video.
Go out to my video. I'm on my video. Should be able to push play.
Let's see. You know what I think happened?
That's as far as it went. This is, as soon as Pastor gets it going, this is a video. Again, we are not on furlough. We are not on deputation. We are out just for, like I said, my daughter's wedding and then a couple Sundays. This is a video that we had made, I think, through, my daughter's made it. I give the credits to her. We sent to our home church just to update them. That's what we will hope to be able to see. All right, so as Pastor is doing that, as soon as it starts, Pastor, just let it start and we'll stop. But in the meantime, anybody have a quick question they want to ask Joshua or myself? Yes, sir, Brother Luke. Now, this is Brother Luke. You know that. I think his last name is Campbell.
Yes.
I got this off the sheet, so everybody can call him Brother Luke, and I thought, I don't see him, but Brother Luke Campbell. All right, yes, sir.
So our Bible, Russian Bible, is about 95% correct. And it's not full. It's not taken from, like we have from the King James Version. It's taken from, it's RST, Russian Synodal Translation. It's taken from the Synodal Bible. It's about 95% correct, 94, 95% correct. We're at the moment trying to, it's a long process trying to find all the problems, but every time we read through it, we are anything that we find that's not right, we mark it, and we're just trying to find someone. We're just anytime someone comes up that we can try purifying it. But yeah, it's not full correct, but it's the best we have right now. And there's other ones, but it's not correct at all. So.
Are you working with anybody to like a Bible training, like First Bible or anybody like that?
No, not at the moment. No, my father, he was in contact with people. They said they would help, and it went down. It like fell through. But if anybody knows of someone that knows Russian that can help with that, then we that's something that we're trying to do.
Amen. They got the ready, Brother Joshua. Yes, sir.
Place where my family and I could attend church. We would always go to a place, but after attending, we would feel it was not the correct place. We made it a matter of prayer to the Lord because we wanted to find a place that He wanted us to be. Anyway, one day, Brother Martin came by our home. What's his last name?
Valdez.
He's a member of the congregation, this congregation. He was out of this with this church testifying house to house, and he gave me an invitation to come by and attend here at Magdalena Baptist Church. So we came to visit, and from the first visit, we have been thankful and comfortable and above all assured of sound doctrine. And I found it the perfect place for us to be, and we have no plans to leave. We thank the Lord that the pastor and his family, our missionaries here, doing a great work for the whole community. Hello, good evening. My name is Rosario. It has been 12 years since I've been saved, and I thank God firstly for my salvation and for me allowing me to be here with my family in this church. Hello, my name is April. I thank God for being able to be in this church for my salvation. It has been 6 years since I have been saved. And I am thankful for the salvation of my family, my uncles, and my grandma. Hello, my name is Dania. I thank God to be here another day. And to my family and my sisters for being here with me. I thank God for the blessings He has given me. It has been 6 years since I have been saved, and well, that's it. My name is Eileen, and I thank God for being here, for all of you, for my family, all of us, because all of us are saved, and for my dad. Good morning, God bless you. My name is Martin Valdez and my wife, Yvette Zamarron. Thank you for your prayers, for your support. Today is the first day of November, and I celebrate 9 years since I arrived here in Magdalena, De Kino, and to this church, Magdalena Baptist Church. I thank the Lord for our pastor, missionary Stephen Harris, and his family. My name is Alonso, sending salutations to all the churches. God bless you. I am saved by the grace of God. Amen. My name is Martha. I want to thank God. Thank God that I'm saved. And I've been coming to this church for a long time. And well, I'm very happy. I want to thank the Lord also for the life that He has given me and all that He has given me and all that I have been told is true and confirmed. I have been here in this church for 3 years, maybe two, but I thank the Lord for the life that He has given me that I have now compared to the life that I did have. He was a drug addict. Thank the Lord that I am saved. And sure that I am saved. This is our Saturday visitation group. Every service we have what we call a peanut fellowship. Peanuts and cookies. That's our daughter Anna, the older one there. They just got married. And teens playing in the rain. And bloopers. All right, so that was, again, that was our daughter Anna, who just got saved. That was her expertise on the video, all right? So I thank God for her help. All right, Pastor, what would you like us to do?
Take some questions or just okay. Share this on the board. Fine, 1025 is what we're
up. Okay. All right, any more questions? I'd love to, Miss Nancy, yes, ma'am.
How long have you been speaking Spanish?
So we started speaking Spanish. We went to Mexico in 2004, and so in Arizona, about 40% of my church there in Arizona was Hispanic connected, all right? So I didn't have to have Spanish, but I was really concerned because I had family, they had family that only spoke Spanish, and I didn't speak Spanish, and so I tried to go to the community college. And learn Spanish, but what I found out is our people at that time, so we're going back 20-some years ago, that we're in America, we speak English. And so that was the mentality of the time then, and so they really didn't even want to practice with me my Spanish, and so it went, you know, I took a little course and learned how to, you know. What I did is I learned how to pronounce all those names I was mispronouncing, like calle and tortilla and stuff like that. That's basically what I learned. It's not tortilla and it's not however Cali is, you know, and Rio and all that kind of stuff. But it didn't get much farther than that. I have never had any desire to go to Mexico as a missionary. It would have been the furthest thing from my mind. And when God opened my heart to that, it's like, Lord, I don't speak Spanish. Listen, I speak Sango, I speak French. I speak English, but Spanish is not one of them. Are you sure? I'm 40 years old. You want me to go to Mexico? So we went in 2004,
and basically learn from scratch. We had arranged to have a tutor. So how that happened is I had a missionary that came through our church, and he was going to Mexico, returning to Mexico. And I thought, you know, here's a man I believe I can get behind as a pastor and support. This is before I even knew I was leaving the church, turning it over. And I thought, well, here's a man I can get behind and support. And so one of the reasons then when God began to work in my heart, I said, you know, I want to take a church mission trip with our people down to him so that our people get this burden for Mexico. I want to leave a burden for Mexico with our church. And here's the man I believe I can do that with. And so we took a church trip. That was the purpose of the church trip. And that's the trip that God said, well, I want you in Mexico. And it's like, who are you talking to, guys? You know, and we went home, and in 4 months we were there. But in the middle of that, our daughter had cancer, our oldest daughter. And so we ended up being 3 months late, 6 months late to get to the field from what we had planned, and we had this, you know, man going to tutor us. Well, then we had, the word got out, and we ended up with 4 other missionary families that wanted to come down and take Spanish since we were starting the Spanish school, which we weren't. And so then the missionary says, what do? I said, start the school, you know, we'll be there when we get there. So we had this super accelerated Spanish class. And I'm not talking college, I'm not talking university, I'm talking way past that. I mean, we had a 1 year of Spanish class that would have equivalent, you know, 4 years in university. I mean, it was just slammed. And so I got there 6 months in. And my wife just, she just, that was way beyond her. I jumped in and like I learned to swim, you know. Jump in the deep end, and third time you come up, you think, I'd better learn. Well, I'm going down for the last time. So the blessing was that, so this man asked me to come down. He says, you're a church planner. I'm not. We want to start church. I said, I don't know Spanish. He goes, that's all right. He says, you know, I'll do the preaching and the Spanish stuff, and you just kind of help me on how to get this church started. And so we did that. Well, so I had five children at the time, four. That we were homeschooling, learning Spanish on an accelerated thing, homeschooling 4 kids, starting a church, learning Spanish, and so I just jumped in. So, you know, all the other students could go home and practice what they're learning. I had to go out and just deal with people, which was the best practice in the world. And then we had other little communities around us, and the other missionary said, I'm a builder by trade. And so the missionary would say, hey, why don't you go out to Perdoncito and build a church for him? It's like, well, okay, who's going with me? And I'd go out there, and I'd raise up a hammer, and I'd say, KS, what's this? Like, what's a hammer, dummy? No, I know that. And they spoke a language called Mayo, which is an Indian dialect, and they always wanted to teach me the Mayo first. And it's like, no, please, just tell me Spanish. And so then what I did is we had a wall there, and I'd write hammer in English, and then I'd write their Mayo word, and then I'd write their Spanish word, and then I'd have to have a level, and I'd say, what's this? And they'd tell me the Mayo word, and I'd write the Mayo word down just to please them, and then I'd write the Spanish word down, and then okay. And then every time I needed something, nails, whatever it was, I looked at my wall, and that's how I learned Spanish. I was preaching Spanish in 3 months. Yes, sir.
Sounds like you've had some difficulty in family.
Yes.
And we have 8 kids.
Okay.
So, you know, learning as a minister of the gospel to balance out all the family pressures to include some very difficult things and your call of God and ministering to people, because ministry is completely pouring out for the sake of another. Can you maybe
it's addicted to the ministry, yeah.
Can you talk to that?
So I can. I'm going to say I'm probably not the best person to talk about it.
All that means is you probably are.
We had 5 children. We have 6 with the one that died. I worked full time starting the church in Arizona, meaning 60 hours a week. Poured my heart out, started work. Amen. Burnt myself out. And we raised horses. Not for me, for my daughter. She wanted a horse. We got a horse, and every time she had trouble, "Dad, the horse, Rosie won't behave." It's like, who am I, cowboy? You know? I wear boots, and I tell everybody, I'm a cowboy on the inside. I really am. But that doesn't mean I'm a horseman, you know? And I climb up on that big thoroughbred, and Rosie would sweat, and I'd sweat, and we'd come to an understanding, and Rosie knew either you behaved or he's getting back on you, so it's best to behave with his daughter on you. I was a soccer coach for a couple of teams that my kids were on. Coach, don't let your daughter play with us. She was rough. But anyway, trying to help my kids, trying to help the community. Everything is, it's a blurred line between what's what. You know, you got family ministry and community and work, and it's not separated. It's all, they're involved in everything, I'm involved in everything, and, you know, and you come home and math has gone past what my wife can teach, you know, and so I'm pulling math, science, I'm a grammar person, you know, so I get all the grammar, you know, from about, what, fifth grade, sixth grade on, it became me. And we didn't do video class, we right. did the old book, you know. Now later on we got to do video, but man, then we didn't have $1,000 to do a video class, you know. But it all became, you know, and if there were certain jobs, I had a lot of liberty in my construction work to have my kids with me. I didn't have my own company because I didn't want that responsibility on top of every other responsibility that I had, but I had a real good man I worked for, and I told him, I am a pastor first. And if I'm on a job site and one of my people need me, my tool belt drops and I'm off. And I'll cover my base, but I'm off. If I have to come back at midnight and finish it, I'll do it, but my church is first. And he understood that. And my family. And just try to keep the order there and work. And it's just a constant struggle and a personal struggle as, Lord, am I doing this right? Lord, am I devoting too much time to this and not enough time to that, and do I not have enough faith? Is that my problem? And it's just a constant personal battle, and that's where a personal walk with God comes, that you just have to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not what he's doing or they're doing or their suggestion. And even, you know, as the latest with all this threats and that we deal with, and get phone calls, and they tell you what they're going to do to your wife, what they're going to do to your daughter. They name them by name. The human wants to say, I'm out of here. But you have to say, God, what do you want me to do? And then you get well-meaning friends and pastors and other missionaries saying, well, I was you. Well, you're not me. And you have to recognize that. And you walk with God because you give an account to God. If something happens, you need to know that you did what God wanted you to do. And that's what's kept me. And so did I make mistakes? Man, I have gone through a lot of back doors, you know. And you can look at it from the outside and say, yeah, I wouldn't do what he did. Please don't, you know. Do what God wants you to do, and but feel free to call me too. Yeah. You know, and say, hey, I'm there. I'm not going to beat on you and say, well, that was stupid. I've been stupid before. You know. Yes, sir, Mr. John.
I was going to ask. I noticed a lot of your congregation was ladies. Is there an obstacle to reaching the men?
we have the most men in our congregation of any church I know of in Mexico. Our percentage is a lot of times, and I don't know that it showed there in the video, but our percentage is probably 70% men, 30% women, maybe a little bit less than that. Our Mexican pastors come up and say, "Where did you get the men from?" You know, and I don't know, in Africa, in our part of Africa, back in, you know, so I'm 30 some years ago, 40 years ago now. Wow. Anyway, you know, we didn't have that issue, but we had probably twice as many women in our churches in Africa as we had men. So our main church there where I was raised in Bria, we ran a congregation of about 1,200, and we had three aisles, and that whole aisle was men, and then this half aisle was young people, and the rest of the half aisle, and then that whole other third aisle was women and nursery, you know. So there's always probably a few, but, you know, if I do a quick head count here, we're about 50-50, I'd say. You know, over here we got a lot of men, and over here we have more women. All right, what are we, segregated like in Africa or something here? And,
is there an obstacle to, I mean, you said most of the churches don't have as many, what, is there a problem with men?
I think there's a machoism that Mexico's known for.
Yeah.
And incredibly, that machoism makes him not quite a man. You know, if you, it's hard to understand, it's to say that, but that they're so macho, they're not even men. You know, and you think, come on, guys, you're not leading your family, you're not providing for your family, you're not doing what a basic man does, but I'm macho, you know. And it's like, no, you're not. You know, it's an act. And part of that machoism is, you know, well, I don't need church. And what unsaved person does need church,
right.
You know? But we have Hilardo, we have Alonso, you know, so the ladies, granted, the ladies are more apt to speak up, all right? So, you know, we had more ladies willing to get in front of the camera than men, but at the same time, we had more men there than we had ladies. They're just not quite as willing. Even the Hilardo, he didn't speak. His son Nestor didn't speak, but his wife Manuela did the speaking.
Wow.
You know, they want something from you, and they'll send, the ladies will send the kids to your door, and the men will send the women. You know, every time they want to, you know, get money off you or something like that, and a kid will knock on the door, and you're like, where's your parents at? And they're over there sitting in the shade. You know, a woman comes, knocks the door and wants something, you know, even like a jack. To borrow a jack for their car or something like that, and you're thinking, what do you want a jack for? And you look over there, and there's Señor over there sitting in the shade, you know, waiting on you to give his wife the jack. So, yeah, I don't know the portrayal, but, yeah, in our church, by the grace of God, we have seen a lot of men. It's a matriarch society, which is wrong, right? But that's what they're saved out of. So we're trying to teach our men, you come in church, the woman is going to be on the outside of the pew. It just, that's the way it is. The men's on the inside. And so I'm teaching my men, be a man, all right? What does sitting on the outside of a pew have to do with men? You're the first contact.
Yeah.
You know, you're the defender.
Yeah.
But that's totally foreign to the mentality. And that's what we're seeing them saved out of. But as they grow in the Lord, they also grow in being a man, providing for your family, being home, taking responsibility. And so I don't know. But yeah, we have Mexican pastors come up, and that's what they literally say. Where'd you get all the men? You reach them. But I think also it goes into the mentality when people are out soul winning, they come up and they say, boy, Pastor Harris, you'll talk to anybody. Yeah, anybody needs the gospel. But they have this mentality that, you know, the women are easier to talk to. You can't talk to the guy that's doing good, talk to the bum. You know, but not that one, because he's a drug addict, and he'll never meet anything for God. Yeah, he's a soul that needs saved, and so
right.
That's what they see me, and I talk to the drug dealer, and I talk to the woman. I talk to the man, I talk to the rich man, I talk to the poor man. because if God put him in my path, he's who God wants me to talk to. And so I think unknowingly, psychologically, if you will, if I hate to use that word, but the inner psychic of the mind is telling him, oh, you know, steering him this way, steering him that way. No, just go straight and witness to who God has put in your place, regardless of what their lot in life is. So I think a lot of the reasons they don't have men in their churches, they're not going after the men. You know, and again, the machoism. They, you know, so, Pastor. Thank you.
Wow, what a blessing. Thank you, brother, for sharing your heart.
Amen. Just,
it's good to see, you know, the ministry like that. And that's a blessing. It's a blessing to my heart. I appreciate it so much. We're going to go ahead and be dismissed. And, of course, service starts back at 20 till. And I know the choir's going to meet in the room back there and do a little practice. So please, if you're part of that, make sure you make your way here shortly to that. And let's have a word of prayer. God, thank you for today. Thank you for what you've given us. God, I've been blessed, Lord, immensely already. And I thank you, God, for Brother Harris just sharing his heart. And God, I pray that you would help he and his wife as they go, Lord, and comfort them and strengthen them. And I just praise you, dear God, their willingness to follow you and not men. And it's difficult in the ministry, and yet at the same time, it's wonderful. And that's a tough dichotomy, really, to understand unless you're in the midst of it. But Lord, what a blessing to see, Lord, this morning. Thank you for their ministries, respectively, Lord. And I know Josh has a long way to go to get to where they want to be on field and all that, but I pray that the journey as well would be amazing for them and be filled with opportunity for you to use him along that path and his wife. And we thank you now for this day you've given us. We look forward to the following service. Bless now these things, and we'll thank you, God, for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.